Good morning. Today is Monday, the 12th of September. Joining us this morning is Superintendent of Humboldt County Schools, Michael Davies Hughes. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Brian.
Are you ready for a Why Do We Say That?
Pregnant pause. Ready or not, here it comes.
Pregnant pause. Let's see if we can find that one in here. No. All right. How about we say someone's operating in high gear?
Yes.
That's kind of like a bike term almost.
Well, we do have gears on bicycles.
Yeah.
As well as other forms of transport.
Yeah.
Yeah. High gear. So high speed. Moving quickly.
All right.
A fast pace.
Getting the job done.
Getting the job done, exactly. So probably coming out of, since it's the historical perspective here, coming out of industry, I'm thinking about gears and the cogs and gears is when there was a need to increase productivity, then in a factory, for example, there would be a need to shift those cogs into high gear so that we were being more productive. Maybe that happened, I'm thinking, during wartime.
You know, at some point, you just stop because you finished
gone
the race.
Gone way too far, right?
You're now running the mile and a quarter instead of the mile. Or pardon me, the 440, sorry. I think this goes down as a win for you.
Great.
Off your week positive.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Anytime others notice you're in high gear, you're sure to be at a project or a campaign working at top speed. Until auto gears became automatic, shifting of them took considerable attention and energy. Many sports cars now use the pattern, low gear, sport, second gear, third gear, high gear, and reverse. A vehicle equipped with four on the floor doesn't take to the road in high. Low gives power to start things rolling. Second offers an increase in speed but reduces pulling power. When the vehicle moves into fourth gear, it's ready for the maximum speed that horsepower and road conditions will permit. All of which means that when you're in high gear, you are moving very quickly and efficiently. That is, until you come to a steep hill.
So I want to share with you an experience that I just had. I went to a county boards conference this last weekend, and we had a rental car picked up
in San
Francisco.
Wait a minute, they had a weekend conference?
It did take place over the weekend, yeah.
Who scheduled it that way? not you.
I did not schedule
it.
I attended with some board members, and we rented a vehicle. And new vehicles, you know, they're all the push buttons, gadgets, difficult to find anything that's actually shifts.
Feels like you're doing something when you touch it, yeah.
So the person at the counter gave me the keys, sat in the car. I found the button that started the car, right? It doesn't even start with a key. You push the button.
Yeah.
And I sat there. And I couldn't find... There was no gear shift on the steering column.
Oh, really?
There was no gear shift anywhere in the center console. It took about 3 or 4 minutes of both the passenger and I searching till we found a set of buttons by the radio that was actually it's push button gears.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there you go.
You're not going to throw the school board member in front of this car that doesn't move? Yeah, it's kind of cool getting a rental because you know it's going to be different than what you have at home.
It was very different.
But it's, some of the cutting edge stuff. It's okay. Yeah. You know, I'm now, I guess, of the mind. I don't care. I'll stand up. Hey, how do I, before I pull out of the parking lot?
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing's more fun like not knowing where the lights are or the windshield wipers.
Yeah. But not being able to put it in drive is definitely...
You can't get in trouble that way.
You can't make
the wrong turn.
No, you can't.
Yeah, it's all that GPS. You just plug it in and it goes. I don't think I'd ever rent one of those things. I don't care how advanced they get.
Yeah, yeah. Or technology.
Plug-in. I'd forget to plug it in. Or think I had and it would be hanging, not fully engaged, kind of like the cell phone.
Yeah. Our kids can figure it out, though, you know? They've got that technology thing. They have the intuition of how things work in the new way that
we
don't
have. This is a plus here?
Well, it is for the future.
That means you have to travel with a kid when you go to conferences.
All right, kid, where's drive?
Yeah. Oh, gee. Comments on the Queen?
Yeah.
I thought about you and Sean because, you know, either from the colony.
Commonwealth. Or, and
the Commonwealth. And then, you know, I was thinking, okay, Duke of Wales being passed along. It was like, okay, now we know that means something.
Prince of Wales.
But for most of us, it's like, okay. Didn't we beat those guys a couple years ago? Even Charles II, trying to figure out, okay, who was the last one to use the name as a king?
What I thought was interesting was the fact that we had a presidential order to fly the flags at half-staff, right? I think it does speak to that deep relationship the United States has had, historical relationship with the United Kingdom. But on the other side of it...
I think we did that with Maggie Thatcher, too, when she died.
The Iron Lady.
I think that was done, and I don't know if about Churchill.
Yeah.
You know, some of the significant historical figures.
Indeed.
I think, yeah.
Well, you know, the Queen was on the throne for 70 years. That's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
To me, and I know, you know, you've got your stuff, but 26? Pardon me? You're like, what, 8 years out of high school? And you're,
Yeah.
But she obviously blew it out of the water.
She did, and what a life of service, you know? I mean, everything that she did was in service of country. And not just the United Kingdom. I think that she was an ambassador of goodwill across the world.
Yeah, there was a reference, one of the news stories we had over the weekend talked about her demeanor.
Yeah.
You never saw her frustrated or lashing out. Yeah, that was all either behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Or just didn't happen.
Yeah, and she had to go through quite a bit of scandal and, you know, and she just maintained that stability, dignity, respect. Yeah.
Some were saying saved the monarchy.
You know, it's interesting. It's a good opportunity. There's always these learning opportunities for our kids. I think this is a really good juncture where teachers can look at, you know, what is monarchy? Why do some countries have them? Why do they not? Why do we not have one in the United States?
George, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning. Well, sort of shop, kind of, with Michael Davies Hughes, more international relations.
which is part of education.
Yeah. I mean, we can connect those dots if we need to, but it's, I think, a little bit more fun this way, or perhaps instructive.
There you go.
Yeah,
there's the educational connection.
I'll do my bad puns, just as I always have. With the death of the Queen, was it perceived as being as sudden as what it's being relayed through the media? I mean, she met the new PM, great.
Yes.
But when the news started coming out that everybody was coming home.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there's only one reason that some of these old scars and wounds are being forgiven.
Yeah.
It's an amazing life, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall in terms of just hints of something that was more than just a passing illness, but still came as a shock to the British public. And I was talking to my mom day before yesterday and just asking how things were there, you know. And it, I mean, the whole country is in mourning, like deep mourning. You know, I'm a cyclist.
Isn't that cool?
It is.
You know, it's not a political, it's, I guess, cultural is kind of what the royals are, but it's also historical.
Yeah.
But that it's still, someone can still impact everybody at that level. Across the board, doesn't matter your politics, your religion, at that base level.
Yeah, yeah, and just that deep level of respect. You know, I'm a cyclist, and they had the Tour of Britain going on last week. And they were on stage 5, and it's not quite like the Tour de France, but it's still, it's a pretty big deal over there. And they were just finished stage 5, and boom, shut it down. Race is over, you know. And I'm sure that there were other several notable events throughout the country were just canceled. No questions asked, no matter what the fiscal impact or whatever it might be. This is the Queen.
It just is.
And you just, this is what we do.
Yeah, the number of 96s that were going on, a lot of the cathedrals and the churches and Big Ben and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Was, hey, that, I guess respect.
My parents had tea with the Queen.
Really?
They were invited to tea with the Queen in Buckingham Palace.
Special occasion? Random draw?
They're still not quite sure why. But actually, my dad's passed away. But they think it was something to do with service that they had done in the community. And then my brother was invited by Prince Charles down to a recognition down. And so he got to meet the Queen as well. I'm the one who didn't. So, you know,
it's
I'm
kind of a long
sheep.
Haul for you.
I just got shipped over to the United States is what happened to me.
Yeah, leave the country now. Oh, that's kind of neat. I don't know. Yeah, the dynamics, you know, everybody had their favorites. Always will, always have. I wonder how King Charles is going to be received.
Yeah.
You know, I would presume there'll be a honeymoon like there is with anything. New guy comes on board. But he's been so vetted over the decades that it's not like nobody knows who he is.
No.
Now, if they brought William in, you know, if Charles had stepped aside and here comes William.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got a whole different dynamic at play.
Yeah, I think that King Charles has blazed some of his own trails. He's very interested in and has supported natural resources, environmental causes. So he does have that in terms of something that he's been.
Yeah, we had heard cultural and environmental.
Yeah.
Those were the two areas that he had kind of focused on.
Yes, and so he's done a lot of work in that regard. He has not had the same opportunity. I mean, he's been in the shadow of the Queen, obviously, and so now there is going to be this expectation that he's going to have to lead, you know. And it's an interesting how the monarchy leads, right? Because they don't have a monarch doesn't have necessarily the clout in terms of political clout.
The formalization, yeah.
But it's always behind the scenes, right? There's the checks and balances, you know, the prime minister. If there's something significant going on in the country, the prime minister will meet with the queen or now with the king. Just a check-in.
Just the fact that she showed up last week before the queen died.
Yes.
And had, I guess, the equivalent of a blessing or acceptance. I don't know what the...
Yeah, or a pep talk.
Yeah. Is the monarchy... Michael, above the political fray?
It is. In my opinion, it is. It's interesting. Whenever there's a significant issue that comes up in the monarchy, whether it be a scandal or a death in the royal family, you'll have people that come out of the woodwork and say, you know, we need to be more around self-governance, that, you know, there's... The monarchy is antiquated.
Yeah.
There's no room for it, you know. If we're looking at being fiscally responsible, how can we, you know, how can taxpayers fund the royal family? You know, what kind of message are we sending with that when we've got people across the world that are starving? You know, it's that kind of narrative that is always comes up when something like this happens. But I think that the monarchy is here to stay for the United Kingdom. Absolutely.
That's part of
the identity.
The kingdom itself, yeah. Yeah, it would be like knocking down Big Ben because it's too old and we want to put in an apartment building there.
Yeah.
Better use of the space.
Yeah. No, there's some things you just don't mess with.
That's the polite phrase. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes, reflecting on Queen Elizabeth and other stuff. The historical elements. Yeah, I think I've shared with you over the years that I really like historical fiction.
Yes, you do.
And there's a series that was written, I think he's still alive, but over a couple of decades, about Camelot. But instead of the T, it was a D, and it was written as historical fiction coming from the Roman occupation all the way through to Arthur.
Yes.
But done historically. So Merlin just didn't go poof. No, he had some fireworks, you know, TNT and things like that, and venom and stuff, and was able to have that same outcome, that same concern and fear with people, but it was based in science. You know, kind of like if you went back, you'd be seen as kind of interesting. If it was in the 700s, yeah. And you had the knowledge base that you have now,
yes,
that kind of stuff. So right. That to me was kind of cool. But it really speaks to castles,
yes,
Hadrian's Wall, Roman occupation, mm-hmm. Henry VIII, Richard III, Shakespeare, World War II. World War I, all these things and castles and moats and all. Cool, I guess is the simplest way I think of that is that there's a richness there that you don't see in a lot of others, and I think it's driven from the consistency of the monarchy.
Yeah,
presence of the monarchy.
Yeah,
I don't think Mary Queen of Scots would really get too tickled with that phrase or buy into it.
It's fascinating, that history. So I grew up in a small town, Criciúth, on the northwest coast of Wales. The town was built in concentric circles around a castle, and it's an 11th century castle. So,
is it still maintained?
No, it's in ruin. It's been... What's interesting is that it's built on this prominence that sticks out into the Irish Sea, so this kind of hilltop cliff that sticks out into the Irish Sea. And it was built and rebuilt several times because there were various ambushes on the castle. But even though it's still in ruin, it is in ruin. You can go up there. You can see the castle walls. You can see where the gates are. Where they have, I forget the name of it, but they have gaps in the walls, right at the entry. Where they would pour the hot oil should anyone break through the outer barriers.
Like a chute is kind of how I always thought it. Or it was like a siphon at one end, or a funnel. And it,
And then the arrow slits, you know, so wider on the inside so that you could aim in the direction. And then obviously just very small slit in the outside. But they were pretty ingenious even back in the 1100s in terms of warfare and protection.
Well, masonry skills.
Yeah.
You think of the tools that they had and didn't have
compared
to today and how they were able to put these blocks together and
indeed
quarry them, get them there.
And it's been standing there for over 1,000 years, right? And just with all of the the weather that we have over there and the wind and the effect of the ocean air. And there it stands, you know.
I would suspect it was never really a warm castle.
No.
That's one thing. Yeah, if I ever had the silly, stupid money, I'd love to bring one back. I don't know how you could do it physically, what the cost would be. And I think most of us would be in agreement that indoor plumbing has been a nice advancement. Electricity would be nice. But to bring something back so you kind of get a sense, not the main castles, but like this one, you know, it was a defensive structure. It may have had a queen or a king or somebody who was appointed running it or living in there, but it was a functional edifice rather than just somewhere where you hung out if you were rich and famous.
Yeah, no, definitely had function. What's really fascinating is that, so it has lights on it, kind of spotlights at nighttime, and it's on it's like I said, it's built up on this hill with nothing below it. And so there are no other lights. So at nighttime, as you come into the town, you see this castle kind of floating in the air.
Oh, that's cool.
Whoa. I mean, there's some gravitas there, you know?
Yeah, in addition to going home. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's something I'm bringing back to kids, you know. Our kids would benefit from and do benefit from understanding the deep and long history that they can appreciate, because there are some parallels with what's going on in modern time. You know, history repeats itself, right? And yes, this was something that was built back in the 11th century, and things were different. But there are things that are fundamentally the same as well. You know, like, how do you build a house? How do you make a good foundation?
Yeah, same gravity things. Hasn't changed.
No, that has not changed.
Yeah, just the concept of stone cutters.
Yeah,
is something that would be. I mean, our masons certainly have abilities, but they're using power tools to do cutting.
Yeah.
They're not chipping away on things.
Right.
Or you get really close and then you miss it. Okay, now what do we? You know, these guys are building the cathedrals themselves.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, a 400 year construction cycle.
Yes.
I think even Fred would be impressed by that.
Perseverance. One must persevere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there was the, you know, double digit increase in materials costs that occurred during that 400 years. Like
I bet you
now.
If you had a drought.
Yeah.
That was probably across the board, you know, could lock things up for a little bit of time, or the change in the monarchy.
Yeah.
You know, go from somebody who wants the castle to somebody who doesn't want the castle or the cathedral.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes. What do you think the legacy of Queen Elizabeth II is going to be? Is there a uniform caricature or moment, or is it just more of an era, kind of like the Victorian era?
That's a great question. No, I think that there is a legacy there. I think that she provided that, and we mentioned this before, that grace that no matter where you stand, what political leanings that you have, how you view the world, you look at Queen Elizabeth and you feel a sense that this was a good person, a person that you would want to share characteristics with.
Or if you choose somebody to be the queen?
Yeah.
pretty good choice.
Yeah, pretty good choice.
Yeah.
Above the fray, and I think we talked about that before, just above the fray. You know, wouldn't take sides, but rather, it's not that she was wishy-washy or, you know, sitting on the fence. It's just that she could transcend opinion.
Kind of above,
mm-hmm.
rather than having it. Yeah, I think Winston did a question last week, or Rod did, about what did you see was the major milestone, and there were four or five choices. Mine wasn't there. The IRA and the religious battles.
Yes.
In Ireland, I mean, you get anybody else in there, they're going to jump in both feet.
Yeah.
Instead of what was done, and maybe it wasn't the best, but, you know, Scotland is revering her today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, those guys were involved in, I mean, there's a quiet calmness or confidence or something that's there.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's gravitas or whatever it is, that was kind of nice, you know, and rare for anybody.
Right.
Rare for a leader.
Indeed. You know, she had quite a sense of humor. I was reading the BBC news blog just a few days ago. Maybe it was Friday, right after her death, and it had some little snippets of what the Queen did to demonstrate her humor. One of those was there were a couple of, and I love this, two teenage girls, and they were taking a selfie, and who was photobombing
the
selfie?
She walked in the background?
She didn't even walk. She just came up to the fence behind them that was guarding her from the commoners. And she just did a big smile, knowing full well that these girls were taking a selfie. I mean, what a great photobomb for those girls, right? Here's the Queen photobombing us.
Yeah. You'd never say that she was a commoner, but you might say she was of the people.
I
suppose that's a really fine balance that you would want to go to. Yeah. How do you think she's going to be stacked up against other royals? I mean, you go back at Henry VIII, obviously, who's kind of at the other end of the spectrum, and others that have been not non-factors, because there's always a factor, but let's say not, like James Polk as a president. You know, you can go, okay, somebody was there, that was his name, what'd he do? Well, not really sure.
Yeah.
Where do you think she's going to land in that spectrum?
Hmm. Well, the one thing that she has a distinction on is the amount of time that she reigned, right? 70 years. No one in that, you know,
nobody
lineage.
Lived that long. Yeah.
No, nobody lived that long. So that in and of itself creates a legacy for her. I think she will be one of, who knows how people will regard history, right? In 100, 200, 1,000 years. But I think that there will be this reverence of her reign. I think about it too, you know, she went through, she was reigning during the time when difficulties for women in terms of being in positions of authority and power, you know, and she, it didn't matter what the gender of the individual was. The Queen was even transcended that.
She did by being Queen.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having a king. So it'll be interesting. So somebody had pointed out, last Queen in our life. Because King Charles will be, and then William will be, and then son of, you know, whichever.
Yeah.
I guess passing of grace to grace. How's that?
It's a nice finish.
All right.
Nice finish, Brian. Thank you for talking about the Queen today.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your week. And, I mean, hey, you got the question right. We talked about the Queen. There's only one way the rest of the week's going to go. Sorry about that. See everybody tomorrow.